The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The guest for the Thursday interview this week is slightly unusual from my perspective because it is someone I have sat beside and jointly interviewed other people, but have never interviewed her directly. It is Ciara Doherty, broadcaster, presenter of News Talk's newest podcast, which is the News Talk Daily, launching next Monday, the 23rd. Hi, Ciara. How are you?
Hi, Anton. I have to say, I actually prefer sitting beside you, asking the questions with you, than being asked a question by you. But anyhow,
well, I'm going to make this as unpleasant as I possibly can over the coming minutes. We'll talk in a while about the podcast. Let's do the obvious thing and go back for a bit first. I have the sense that you went through one of the most tumultuous periods in TV, because I think when you started, there were still buckets of money hanging around. There were still big vehicle programming being done. And you went through a period where a lot of that changed. When you look back on the totality, what was the best bit?
Oh, the best bit of my 14 years in television.
For you. I think everybody has one program they go, I really loved that one. Or one guest where they really loved, not that did the best or that got the biggest reaction, just the one that you think enjoyed that.
Yeah, well, there was a real source of pride, I have to say, when I joined The Tonight Show, given the legacy of the programme, given how influential it was, given the place it had in Irish television. I had a real sense of pride and it was a challenge and I loved that. In terms of what I really enjoyed, I would say, looking back, my days in Ireland AM, because when you're on screen for 4 hours, as I was, 5 days a week, I felt there was no opportunity to be anything other than yourself and to be as authentic as you possibly could be. And you just had to be very true to yourself. And that was a really enjoyable experience because the other people around me were quite like that too. And so it led to this, you know, familial environment where we knew what was going on in each other's lives. We had lots of fun behind the scenes. I laughed every single day.
Despite, you know, getting up at the crack of dawn?
Despite. Notwithstanding the alarm going off at anywhere between, you know, 3:30 and 4 a.m.
I think there's a big difference between those two. I think the difference between 3:30 and 4 is more than half an hour. There's something about getting up before 4 a.m.
Unless it's
that
for a
hurts.
Flight. Unless it's for a flight.
That's
even
fine.
Then it's painful. Even then it's painful.
But when you know it's work, oh, that stings. That 3:30 alarm really stings.
I'm still not mad about any alarm before 7, to be honest.
Not to be said for it.
Yeah, I think Ireland AM was something really special. And I love people and I love engaging with people and I love talking to people and I love meeting people out in the streets. And I love standing in a queue and getting talking to the person next to me. And when you work in a programme like Ireland AM, people engage with you all of the time.
Now, what did you start as? Were you a reporter or broadcaster originally, or did you start down a different path?
Totally different path. So I studied law in UCD. That was what I chose at, you know, the ripe old age of 16. But really deep down, I wanted to work.
And you chose it at 16 or you went to UCD at 16?
I went to UCD. I just turned 17 and I went to UCD. So I was pretty young going to college.
No transition year?
No transition year. Straight through. I don't know why. I was really happy living in my home with my parents and all of my friends.
Oh, where was home? Donegal? Letterkenny?
Yeah. So I went to college at 17, up to Dublin, went to UCD, did my 3 years, was out of college at 20. I was 20 in April. I left college in May. And I'd always wanted to work in media. But
Did you do well in college?
Look, I'm not going to lie. I'm a swot by nature, right? Once a swot, always a swot. And I'm really competitive.
First? 2-1?
2-1, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No. I was good back then.
Did you party at the same time? Were you what?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
There is a wildness.
Yes, there is a wild streak. So I did very little in first year. I did absolutely nothing in second year. And now I had 12 hours a week study. So doing nothing really was quite a skill. And then in third year, I thought, right, okay, like I'm just not going to be happy if I come out of here with low results. That's just not my nature. So in third year, maybe about 6 months to go, I opened the books and said, right, what is law? Sorry, what is legislation?
This tort you speak of. is it an apple tort?
Precedent? Okay. And of course, as is always the way with me, once I get stuck into something, I get obsessed.
Now, you emerge with good qualifications. You are about 20 years of age. And the logical thing to do at that point is to ring William Fry, Arthur Cox, Philip Lee, all the rest of them and say, lads, milk round, let me in. Why didn't you?
because deep down inside, I always wanted to work in media and I always wanted to be a reporter or be a broadcaster. But I just...
Really? You looked at the two salaries that these careers have side by side and went, I want that one. Genuinely.
What's your salary, Anton? I don't think it's too bad, actually, if you put all your different endeavours together. Yeah, I mean, I know at 16 or 17 or 18 years of age, you're not thinking about the salary. Maybe I regret that now. But that's what I wanted to do. But to me, that was like saying somebody, I want to be a supermodel or I want to be an international singer. That was just pure notions to consider yourself somebody who wanted to, you know, broadcast for a living. But that's what I wanted to do. So, no, I didn't call Arthur Fox or William Fry or any of the big five, although I did go to all of their open days because they used to serve free wine. And I did not allow any of the big salaries that they were waving to distract me. And I
remember once hearing Peak Notions was during the boom at one of the open days for one large professional services firm. They had a chocolate fountain.
Oh, wow.
I know. I was like, well, if anything
Sign
would make me work
me
somewhere.
Up.
Oh, totally. Chocolate fountain.
Where's the contract?
I'm yours. So you went to London.
So I went to London because I didn't really know what to do and I didn't really know how to break into media. And I just didn't know what the path was. And to me, London sounded like a really good place to go. And it sort of gave me something to say when I was finishing up college, when everybody else was going to King's Inn or Blackhall Place to become a barrister or a solicitor. They would say, what are you doing? And I'd say, I'm moving to London, as if, you know, that was...
And was there an element of escapism in that?
No, I just felt that there was opportunity. And then I have an uncle that I'm very close to, my Uncle Raymond, and he, you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing or where you're going in the world, he knows somebody. I know somebody who knows somebody who's connected. And he knew somebody who knew somebody whose daughter worked in ITV. And he said, go there and I'll get the two of you to meet for a coffee. And I thought, well, that's about as good a plan as I have. In fact, it really was the only plan that I had and the only connection. And so I went to London and worked in Starbucks for 4 months, did my barista training, and eventually met this girl.
Can you do that little thing on the phone that makes a pattern?
I'm a trained barista. Of course I can.
Really?
Yeah, I'll make you a coffee someday.
I look forward to it. This would be amazing.
And I met this girl and she worked within the drama department within ITV. And sure enough, she said, look, there's a runner's position coming up in our drama department. Go for the job. I'll put in a good word. So I went for the job. Didn't get it. But got down to the last two, got the second interview. And as I was leaving ITV that day, I met Andy Harries, and he was the director of drama in RTE. Got talking to him about moving to London, being 20. I didn't know anybody. I was actually incredibly lonely at the time and looking for this break into television. And he heard my pleas for my cry, and he knew that the head of press was looking for a PA to cover maternity leave.
In ITV? In RTE?
In ITV.
In ITV.
And he said, you should give this girl a chance. I think she's, you know, desperate, basically, and will do anything to get her foot in the door. And she did. And that's how I got into television. And that's where I started, was in the press office in ITV.
What was your first moment in front of a camera or behind a mic?
My first moment behind a mic, I think, was I'd been looking to be a reporter for a long time, but I was here in News Talk actually because I had moved home and I was researching on the breakfast programme, and they kept saying, no, we're not going to put you in there. No, no, you're good at research and we'll keep you doing that. They wouldn't give me the chance. And then finally, of course, there was an election and I was sent up to the Letterkenny County Centre, which has always been one of my favourite places. I adore a county centre. So that was the first time.
Any nerves?
I got in there. No, because at that stage, I think I was maybe 26 or 20, yeah, probably about 26. And I thought, right, at this stage now, I'm ready. Give me my break. And I wasn't going to mess up. So no, I don't think I was that nervous, to be honest.
From then, what was the next one or two big breaks? What were the sort of the Rubicon gigs that you thought, this has kicked me on a level?
I left News Talk and got a reporting job on the midweek programme, which was a programme that was presented by Clad Fitzpatrick in Virgin TV3, as it was back then. So then I was reporting on television on a weekly basis. And I suppose really the big move for me would have been coming into Ireland AM. I was a reporter on that. And then I went away on my honeymoon for a couple of months. And when I came back, Sinead Desmond had left. And they said, right, you take the role on for a couple of months. And then I got it.
How did you find fame?
See, look, I just don't buy that.
Live human beings come up to you and say, I've seen you on the television. That's fame.
No, fame in Ireland belongs to Bono, Colin Farrell, and let me think, Saoirse Ronan. And that is it.
Have you ever been in the presence of Pat out public or okay. Miriam O'Callaghan out
okay.
public?
Okay.
There's a lot of people who have fame. You're one of them. People come up to you and go, I love you on the telly.
That's called being recognised. That's not fame. No.
Well, how did you find being recognised? Do you like it?
Well, I don't dislike it. There's no point in me pretending I do. I mean, I don't think I would have got into this industry or wanted to be in radio or television if I probably didn't enjoy it. So, no, and people in Ireland are generally extremely friendly. I don't think anybody has ever come up and said, you know, I hate you to my face. They might have said it online.
That's why God gave us Facebook.
I've read those comments, people. I know what you think. I've had the, you know, I hate your voice, I hate your face, whatever. But, you know, by and large, the people who address you are extremely kind. So I've enjoyed that. What's not to like?
Tell us then about the ending of The Tonight Show. What happened and what impact did it have on you?
Well, there was changes. I had been on the programme for nearly 5 years and things were happening, I suppose, behind the scene, and they were changing the programme. It was going from 4 nights a week down to 2. And I had been working since the children were born, either early morning, so I always missed breakfast, or I missed dinner. I was gone a lot of evenings. And I suppose I regretted the fact that the programme was going from 4 nights down to 2. And the opportunity came along to either, I suppose, stay and do that, or to move. And I had been working in media. I got my first job in ITV on my 21st birthday, and I was 43 in April of this year. So I had worked non-stop for 22 years, bar maternity leaves, and I took a break when I got married. I took 3 months off and we went travelling. And other than that, I had never been out of work for a day. I had never not worked. And when I saw this opportunity, to be very honest, it didn't take me too long to say, you know what, this might be a good chance for me to get out, to take a break, to regroup, to spend some quality time with my family, to do some of the things I haven't been able to do for the last few years, and to see what else is out there. I mean, I have always been somebody who hates the idea of, just sort of drifting. I don't like that idea of drifting along and just doing the same thing.
Don't knock it till you've tried it, Kira.
Sorry, how many versions of Anton Savage have we had?
Only by lucky drifting.
Anton 10.0. I like change, and I do think, you know, every so often you've got to, you know, throw your cards in the air and you've got to back yourself and you've got to say, do you know what? I think I'm going to get out and I'm going to see what else is out there.
Well, this brings us to one of the things that was out there, which of course was News Talk, who came knocking on your door and teamed you up with my old panel, Tom Donnelly, to do podcast. What's the podcast?
So this is News Talk Daily, launching this Monday. It is Monday to Friday, every day. So when you open your eyes in the morning, and I don't know about you, but open your phone, which is inevitably what I do, it will be there. The idea, I suppose, behind the story is that we, or behind the podcast, is that we take a story, be it something from the courts, from the world of sport, entertainment, geopolitics, and we look at it in a different way. Because I think you and I both know, as people who've worked in daily news, there is this obligation when you work in radio or indeed in TV that you bring people up to date. What's the latest? What's the latest? How many times have you asked that question? Bring me up to date. And there's an expectation from the audience that you do that too. But a podcast, I think, gives people the opportunity to fill in the gaps and to put a story perhaps into context and to find out what's really happening and to really, I suppose, get under the skin of a story. Because,
and are you doing this with contributors and interviewees, or is it all on your own shoulders? It is, it's contributed, right?
Oh, yes. So we'll be speaking to expertise, to those people who have experience, to opinion makers, to people here within News Talk who hopefully you will hear in a very different light. Because one of the things that I love about podcasts and why I listen to so many podcasts is because I like the conversational style. I like the idea that it is not, you know, that it is, I suppose, informal, but not less informed. I think that's really the nugget of podcasts, but that you get to hear people in a slightly more relaxed environment. And when you do that, you tend to get nuggets of information.
And most importantly, you don't have to get out of bed at 3:30 in the morning.
No, or I don't have to go to bed at 2:00 in the morning. When I told my children, look, I'm going to be going back to work, I always told them I would have to go back to work at some point. I couldn't sit sunning myself in the garden as I've done for the last couple of months. They said, OK, Mum, that's fine. But is there any chance you could get a day job? Please just get a day job like Dad. And I said, OK, I'll try my best. I'll get a day job. So this is a day job.
I believe the way you phrase it is, when does the podcast drop?
The podcast drops into your Go Loud app or wherever you get your podcasts this Monday, the 23rd of June. It'll be there bright and early.
Ciara, thank you so much. Ciara Doherty, presenter of News Talk Daily.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.